Deuteronomy 24:1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. The first mention of giving a writing of divorcement, there's other places where it mentions a divorced person, but this is the first place where it gives some guidelines for it. But this first mention and the rules regarding divorce are laid down for us right here. This is the passage that's in question, this Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. It's the passage that's in question that the Pharisees bring up before Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 to trip him up. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 19, but this is what they're talking about right here. We see in verse 1 that once the bill of divorce is given, she is no longer under the authority of her former husband. Verse 1 says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement. So there it is. And give it in her hand and send her out of his house. So she's out of his house. She's no longer under his authority. Okay? It's important we understand that. She's no longer under the authority of her former husband. Verse 2 says that under this law, she's permitted to become another man's wife. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Now, somebody help me out here. Is this inspired scripture? Amen, it is. That's what it says. It's inspired scripture. I didn't write this down. God wrote it down. He said, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. That's what God said right there. I didn't say it. God said it. He told Moses to write it down. So, under this law, she's permitted to become another man's wife. If the second husband divorces her or dies, the first husband cannot remarry her. Verses 3 and 4 talk about this. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, so she's no longer under his authority, or if the latter husband die, okay, then obviously she's no longer under his authority, which took her to be his wife. Verse 4, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. So there's to be no reconciliation in that manner. That's what God's saying. She can't go back and marry him, and he can't marry her once he sent her out. Bible says it's an abomination. It causes the land to sin. Obviously, this is a very serious offense in God's eyes. Here's a question we need to answer. That's Deuteronomy 24. Okay, that's just a basic synopsis of what it says right there. Okay, now here's something else. I want to kind of shift gears and look at another topic dealing with this divorce here. And I think this is a question we need to answer. Does God recognize a marriage the father doesn't consent to? Does God recognize a marriage that the father doesn't consent to? We could say the parents, but especially the father. Does God recognize it? Any opinions? Anybody? What do we say? No? Do we have a reason why? He needs a transfer of authority. Right, that's all good stuff. I'm gonna take us to the Bible and the reason why God doesn't recognize it. But we somewhat understand some of these things, because we were at one point, whether people want to admit it or not, and we've never been a perfect nation, but we were at one point a Christian nation. I mean, we were founded on Christian principles and things of that nature. You can't really argue that, whether people want to accept it or not. I understand not everyone in our nation's ever been saved. I'm not saying that when I make that statement. But we had a biblical foundation, and even lost people understood the Bible, and they knew much of the Bible and the principles in the Bible, and the morality that the Bible puts forth. But people understood these things, and we still have it today. Even if you go to a marriage ceremony, they ask, who gives the bride away? And who is it? The father. I do. He's usually the one that walks her down the aisle and says, I do, or her mother and I do. Whatever it is. But it's the father transferring that authority. He's giving his blessing. So we get these things. We just don't know why, for the most part, why we do them. Okay? But let's look at the reason why. Turn to Numbers chapter number 30. Numbers chapter 30. You're in Deuteronomy. It's the book right before it. Numbers chapter number 30. All right, and I've hit on some of these things here before, dealing with the authority that's here. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. See, God puts a difference between a man and a woman. We're about to see that. If some people, some ladies might not like that and think that's sexist or chauvinist or whatever it is, but there's a reason for it. It's because Eve was the one that was deceived in the garden, not the man, okay? God made us different, and I know I've talked about all this stuff. So we have to understand just the difference that's between a man and a woman. It's not that one's better than the other, but we're different. And God put us in different positions. Okay, there's only one head of this church. Who is it? Who's the head of this church? Somebody. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Okay, well, who's the head of the home? Is there one or two heads? There's one, that's right, and it's to be the husband. The husband's the head of the home, even as Christ is the head of the church. It's making that analogy right there. Okay, and if you want to look into some of the reasons why, you can look at cross-reference 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to say it picks up verse 12 maybe, but the end of 1 Timothy chapter 2 gives the reasons why the woman's not to have authority or anything like that over a man. Okay, so the man, when he makes a vow, he's going to stand on what he said. He's going to stand and answer before God. Now we get into verse 3, and it says, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond. Let me ask you, what do we call it when we come down, when somebody comes to a marriage altar? What do? They exchange what? Vows, right? That covenant, that agreement between those two people and God? Because God's always involved in a covenant. Okay, they exchange those vows. So is that what's happening in a marriage ceremony? There's some vows being exchanged, right? Okay, so if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, so she's still under her father's authority, under the headship of her father, and if she vows this vow, verse 4, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. So if the father hears it and he says, that's okay, he holds his peace, he doesn't say anything, then he says, okay, that's all right. That's what it's saying. Again, what it sometimes said at a wedding? You know, does anybody object to, I forget how they word it or whatever, but is there any reason why these two should not be married? Is there any objections? Does anyone object to it or anything like that? And really, it doesn't matter what anybody says. It should just be what the father says. But you can still see the where we get those types of things from. It's taken from right here. If he holds his peace, then it's okay. Then every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. So it's going to stand. Let's get to verse 5, though. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. So, if a girl gets married and she doesn't have her father's consent, is it recognized as a marriage? No. No. Now, the state might recognize it as a marriage, but that doesn't matter, because God doesn't recognize it as a marriage. You see? I hope we see the importance of that. God does not recognize the decision that she made if her father doesn't say it's okay. And that might sound harsh to some of us, but I'm telling you, it's because we've gotten away from what the Bible says and biblical authority and the headship of the home. And why a woman's to have a head. We just need to go there. Save your spot in Numbers. Let's go to 1 Timothy. I didn't plan on going there, but let's go ahead and go there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2:11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. See, woman's not to usurp authority over the man. She's to be in silence. Adam was formed first and then Eve. It's God has an order. God does everything decently in an order. He has a plan. And this was his plan. Adam was formed first, then Eve. It says Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Look, I'm telling you, it's just by nature the way he made us different. And I know most of you, I've said this stuff before, but I want us to see the connection with this and this thing of vows. Because Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived, being in the transgression. Okay, Adam saw right through it. He willingly became sin for us. That's what it says of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who knew no sin hath become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us. He willingly became sin for us. By the way, Adam did the exact same thing. For his bride, he became sin. He wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. She showed it to him. He saw her eat it, or I don't know if he saw her, whatever, exactly how it happened. If he just showed up afterwards, or if he let the whole thing happen, I don't know exactly. But he knew that fruit that they shouldn't, that's the fruit we shouldn't be eating, Eve. And he saw that she'd already eaten it and she offered it to him. And he looked at that fruit. He looked at her, and I'm sure he looked at God, and I wonder if he, I'm sure he did. He contemplated. Now, great. Now what do I do? And he became sin for his bride. He became sin for her. He willingly ate that fruit, knowing it was wrong. He wasn't deceived. She was tricked into it. She was deceived into it. Okay, and this is how God, the difference God's made between men and women. All right, so we get into this thing of vows. It's a protection for ladies. It's to protect you. So if a father says, no, no, that we're not having that, God doesn't recognize it as a marriage. And you think this is absolutely happens. You got young girls all the time that are going to say, well, he loves me and all this and that. And mom and dad are saying, no, no, this guy's no good for you. Stay away from him. He's a bum. And they see right through this guy. And they know he's no good. He's just a dirty dog. But the girl just insists and insists, fights her parents, gives them a hard time. Everyone's life is miserable. And I'm telling you, I've seen it. So I know that's how it happens. Everybody's life is miserable. And this young girl's fighting and fighting. He loves me. He loves me. And I love him. And you can't stop us. And then, bam, they go off and get married. And parents are like, nope. Dad says, nah. And they get married. Life's a disaster. Have a couple kids. Guy's abusing her, beating her, whatever, everything else that happens. And then she leaves him. She finally wakes up, gets some sense, leaves him, comes home. Is it a marriage? Not according to the Bible. Not according to this. They're not married. She may come home and have to get a divorce through the state or whatever. I mean, that's just the world we live in. She may have to do that. But God never recognized it as a marriage. Why? Because the father disallowed her vow. And God says, it says right there, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. God forgave it. Disallow means to forbid, to refuse permission, not to permit, not to grant, not to make lawful, not to authorize. See, our society is getting so far away from parental authority. I mean, you got Hillary Clinton saying that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. Nope. Nope. Stay out. Don't tell me how to raise my children. I don't want government touching anything. I used to work for the government. They mess everything up. They make everything worse, not better. Just stay out. But they want to take over how we raise and train our children. That I'm just telling you now, if you're raising children, you better be careful where you spank them. I'm talking where at in public. I personally would not do it in public if I was raising children. I mean, we tried not to anyway, but sometimes, you know, they need a little smack on the hand or something. Like, it's still okay sometimes, but I know I've heard of people getting CPS called on them because someone witnessed that happen in a store or something, and CPS is showing up at this parent's house. So I'm just saying be careful. Hey, corporal punishment is absolutely biblical. Whoop your children. They need it. We've all seen that brat in Walmart where you're thinking, man, I want to go whoop that kid. We've all run into that kid or in the store. It's biblical to do that. Absolutely biblical. But just be careful, because our government more and more wants to take control over your children. I don't know where all you fall on this, but vaccinating your children, I don't care if you do, if you don't. I personally, if we had children now, our kids are vaccinated up until we learn better. But you know, do the research yourself. But if I were to have children now, I would not vaccinate them. But if you want to vaccinate your kids, I don't care. Go ahead. But I'm just saying, really, it doesn't bother me. If you want to, go ahead. If you don't, don't. But look, the government should have no business telling us if we're going to vaccinate our children or not. They should just stay out of that. Don't tell me how to raise my children. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. Don't tell me what I can and can't teach them. I should be able to teach them whatever I want to. See, when we start allowing government to dictate what we can do, they've overstepped their bounds, a place, an authority God never gave them. And we're letting them step and intrude into all these places in our life where they have no business at. Marriage is one of them. They should never have any business in marriage. They don't have the authority to do it. The father does. He says, it's not authorized. It's no marriage at all. But now, that'd be seen as, you know, you're stifling your child's inner growth or some nonsense like that. You're hurting your child. I just received an email of a family that they're Christians. They've homeschooled their children all the way up through. Their daughter hit like age 14 and she wanted to be a doctor. So they said, okay, well, we're going to send her to this public school now so she could get some of the, you know, whatever, the training that she needs, and she can get into college so she can go be a doctor. This child ends up going to school. Everything's going good for a while, and this thing turns real quick. They start getting a call from the school saying that their daughter wants to be referred to as a boy, and the school is telling the parents, you can't tell her that she's a girl. You're hurting her. You're harming him. They're not even calling her, they're him. She wants to be called Mark, I think is what it was. And CPS is getting involved. And the parents are like, we're afraid they're going to take our other children if we step too far, if we say too much. But we're not going to refer to our daughter as a boy. But this is, I'm telling, this is what it's coming to. This is what they're telling people. That you have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. And we're giving them too much authority. When the Bible says it's the parents' authority in this matter. The father disallowed it. He did not authorize it. He didn't give permission. He made it unlawful. He said it's not lawful. This type of thinking is completely contrary to what our feminist society teaches. But it's biblical. Anybody ever heard any of this before? Anybody else? Maybe a couple people, a few people. Because we're indoctrinated with feminist ideology. And we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. We don't. It's all over us and we don't realize it until it's pointed out. And we're like, man, I didn't realize I was thinking like that. And I've been guilty of that. Because it's everywhere. As I said, this is solely meant as a protection for daughters and wives. Again, going back to the scenario of the rebellious daughter doesn't listen to her parents, goes and gets married, has a couple kids, the abusive husband, she leaves him, gets a divorce. In the state's eyes, she may have to get a divorce, but in God's eyes, it's no divorce because it was never recognized by God as marriage to begin with. Our laws, the state's laws, do not trump God's laws. They don't. It doesn't matter what the state says. They may make what we do illegal, but it doesn't trump. God's still the highest authority. And there's no getting past that.